Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Sandy Rakowitz. This is day two of our Tellington T-Touch for You immersion online program. Hallelujah. Welcome back. Welcome to the new people coming on. Very, very thrilled and excited to see everybody around the world showing up, coming in, joining together for this amazing, wonderful dream coming true. And today we will be starting in with some additional pieces. Some things I believe haven't really been taught all together in this way before. So it's very exciting to be bringing all of these beautiful pieces up and out. And without further ado, here is our wondrous Linda Tellington Jones.
Here is your Linda Tellington Jones in a state of great gratitude. Is my voice good at this level?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm good. Great. Hi, Lisa. It's such a dream to actually be able to connect in this way around the world and have so many of you, some of you here since the early 80s, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning realizing that we have some of you who are on here who don't know anything about T-Touch. And the fact that these basic 1 1/4 circles, just moving the tissue in 1 1/4 circles with however you can do this, it doesn't matter what part of your hand that you do it with, that we are able to actually activate, support this communication between the cells. And that is something that is, for me, has been so profound that anybody can do this. I mean, we've had literally 3-year-olds learn to do this, T-Touch. And yet, the fact that you can just move the tissue in 1 1/4 circles in whichever direction feels right to you, allowing your own feeling to make sure that it actually is something that is acceptable from your cells, acceptable by your cells. And that is one of the things that I find is really incredible. Now, what has made it very teachable, as we know, is that we have the techniques, we have the logical techniques. So you learn the basic move the tissue, whatever part of your hand in this basic 1 1/4 circle. But behind this, no, we have the techniques, and the techniques have to do with our 9 elements, which we're going to be going over. And Sandy, you're going to put this up, this little mind map up to see this so they get an overview of what they're going to have a chance to learn and study in these 90 days. And we have the 9 elements. The fact is you can do this, be successful without even knowing it. But when you start to really hone in and pay attention to the quality of each of those elements, we get really remarkable results. And what do I mean by remarkable results? The reduction of fear, anxiety, stress, and the reduction of discomfort in the body, which is something that we can do ourselves. And that's why we're so passionate about sharing this work. I'm just going to give a little quick overview for those of you who don't know anything about this work. I started doing body work on horses in 1960, thanks to the influence of my grandfather, but that's a whole other story I won't bring in now. My first husband and I did this for 15 years, wrote a book called Physical Therapy and Massage for the Athletic Horse, and we're very successful with this with our sport horses. And then in 1975, I had the great honor to enroll in a 4-year course at the Humanistic Psychology Institute with Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais. And that, of course, changed my whole way that I saw and worked with horses. It started with horses in this way. But of course, we were there to learn to work with people. And so I was able to take this body of work, and that's a whole other story of your
interview. That's a real show. Well, not really. I mean, because it just, you know, you take that money, you would have given
got to unmute. You've got to mute somebody, Sandy.
It's Lindsay, and I can't seem to mute her. I'm so sorry. Wait, there. It worked. Okay, I just was pushing it and pushing it.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, where was I?
So that you were studying with Moshe at the Human.
Okay. So I with Moshe, I came to the work for the 4-year study at the Humanistic Psychology Institute with Moshe, with the idea that I would be helping to improve the athletic ability of my riding students. And the fact is, in the second day of this training, when Moshe Feldenkrais made a statement that it's possible for a human to learn in one experience using non-habitual movements that activate unused neural pathways to the brain, I had this, and his passion was not just in the movement, his passion was in how can we humans enhance our capacity for learning. And when I heard that, I thought, wait a minute, I could use that for horses. What would I do with the horse that would move them in a way that they couldn't move, that would activate their capacity for learning? And that's a whole thing. I mean, I now have 21 books in 15 languages, and more than half of those are about this work with horses. Was very successful. But of course, I was learning with humans all of this time. And what I mean, it made a profound difference in my life. One of the things that Moshe Feldenkrais said, actually in the first some of our training, was that don't just do what I do, develop your own fingerprints. And that was his passion, was in human intelligence, our ability to learn, which was just so incredible. And in the second year of the course, we were given a book to read. One of the textbooks that we were encouraged to read was a book called Man on His Nature by Sir Charles Sherrington. And Sherrington was a Nobel Prize winner, and he wrote this one book on philosophy. And I remember reading this in February of 1976. Sitting in a restaurant, Marvin Pink restaurant in Stuttgart, Germany, reading this book. And one sentence changed my life, actually another life-changing event. And that is, he wrote that every cell in the body knows its function within the body. And I remember like sitting back and thinking, wait a minute. All I have to do when I don't yet, because we didn't know how to do the miracles that we saw Moshe do yet. And I thought, when I don't know what to do to help a person with this beautiful functional, you know, integration work, which we had not yet learned, all I have to do is just talk to myself and just say, wait a minute, I just want to tip this little cells, just remind this body of its potential for ideal function. And I remember that as though it was yesterday. And that is this whole concept of talking to our body. Now, it's been a long process of studying, reading, learning, because what then began to happen to me in that, I think it was in the second year, is that when I would remember working on horses, because that was my life. And I started to say, if you're interested in my life with horses, Shannon Weil has written a really incredible book called Strike a Long Trot. And it's her story of the year at my school. And those who have read it just love this book. So that's a whole other lifetime for me. And so what began to happen, I started seeing the body, as I was studying Feldenkrais work, seeing it as a collection of cells. And I remember after reading this. I was working on a horse, actually, because after school in San Francisco, I would go and often work with horses. And I was working on this horse who'd been injured, and I came to a spot where he'd been hit by a pole, jumping and falling, and he didn't want to be touched there. And I remember, wow, I had this sense that it's like there was less light in the cells. Now, you have to understand, I don't see things. I don't see auras. I don't want to see. I don't want to be able to do anything that somebody else can't do. This is my interest. I want a child to be able to do this. But I had this sense of, wait a minute, less light in the cells. So very, of course, gently, I moved. This is before the circles. I moved around the area. And the idea of working on the area around the body as lightly as I would work where the horse was afraid. And it didn't take very long. And then I could actually go over that area. And it seemed like the light changed in the cells. And the horse was no longer afraid of being touched. Interesting. What happened then is for 8 years, I primarily did the Feldenkrais work with humans and with our horses and developed this wonderful groundwork work that we do based on this idea of non-habitual movements. And then in 1983, I was working on a very difficult horse at a veterinary clinic in Delaware. And this horse belonged to one of the vets who worked with the American three-day team, Alan Leslie. And they couldn't touch this horse. She would try to bite or kick you if you tried to groom, or she was really defensive. So I was putting my hands just very gently on her. I don't know what I was doing, you know, with just giving her a sense of herself. And she got really quiet and she didn't try to hurt me. And her owner said, Linda, come on, what are you doing? Why is this horse so quiet under your hands? And this is when my intuition kicked in, because that's a whole other story. I learned to trust my intuition, another reason why. And I turned to her and I said, don't worry what I'm doing. Just up, put your hands on the shoulder and move the skin in a circle. And when I said that, I thought, okay, wait a minute, what's that about? But you know, I learned a long time ago to trust my intuition. So she just went up and she did it. She put her hands on the shoulder and just made these little tiny circles. And the horse got as quiet for her as she was for me. And in that moment, I thought, wow, anybody can do that. There's really something here. Now, the fact is that we've got Eleanor sitting here. She remembers us talking about circles way before that. And if you look in my first book, in the first book, Massage and Physical Therapy for the Athletic Horse, that we wrote in 1965, it shows moving the skin in circles, which is funny. But I didn't get it. I just got it in that moment in 1985. And it, to me, it was like, you know, this message from heaven. And I realize now it is literally. And I want to read something to you from this book, because this is a book called The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom by Joan C. King. And she is an amazing person. I really recommend this book. I'm reading it along because what this book does is validate what I have been intuiting all these years. Sorry. And in this book, on page 14, she writes that when we open ourselves to the source energy, what we talked about yesterday, recognizing this divine intelligence in every cell in our body, because what else could this possibly be? This wonder that we have this vehicle that we call our body, this universe that houses our soul. What else could it possibly be? When we open ourselves to source energy, we connect with cellular wisdom. For source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe.
Wow.
And in part of the nine elements is what we call the mindful pause, the pause between the circles. And we're going to be talking about this in these 90 days. We're going to actually have Sally Morgan talk about it, talk about the pause that brings us to this still point that is a really important part of cranial sacral work, which she was one of the she was a developer for cranial sacral work for animals for the, for the cranial sacral, the primary cranial sacral organization. And what's important in that pause between the touches, something happens. And I'm going to post this later, but I'm going to just tell you something that to me is, Sandy said yesterday that when she watched me 29 years or so ago, she wanted to know what was it that I was actually connecting to. And there's a little tiny book by Ruth L. Miller called Uncommon Prayer. And in it, she writes about quantum science, because this is, thanks to the understanding now of quantum science, we have a much different view of the universe. And in it, she writes, in between the stuff that makes up the universe is not just empty space. It's between us. This is not just empty space. Holding it all together, the universe, is a quantum field out of which emerges in orderly patterns all matter, that's everything we can touch, feel, and all energy, which of course is everything. Some scientists call this energy consciousness with a capital C, or intelligence with a capital I. And the rest of the world calls this God. Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibilities. Infinite possibilities. And says that when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, which is actually the stillness in the pause between this 1 1/4 circle, that we too help to shape the forms that emerge out of this field. And the reason I bring this up, and I really want you to feel this, and I say this thing over and over to myself. I memorize things like this so that it becomes a part of me. And I realize that when we hold the infinite possibility on ourselves, like I talked about yesterday with his hangnail, it was so painful. And I can just, he's 1 1/4 circles, the golden the golden spiral. We're going to talk about more about this during this time. That we just are able to actually, what I believe is happening, the cells stop communicating when there's like pain, fear, discomfort. And that we can simply activate, remind cells of their potential for ideal function, or of their perfection for ideal communication. That's what we're just talking about, all of this stuff, why we're here together in these 90 days. We want to give you the tools and the techniques to realize that you can, with your own beautiful universe that we call our body, we can talk to the cells. And as we do this, and the language is the 1 1/4 circles. You can do it just with energy, just by imagining it. You can do it by imagining, if you're working on somebody from a distance or an animal from a distance, you can, when you imagine the circles and you bring that in, as opposed to just this imagining healing, something else happens. And when I do, if I'm working from a distance, I actually will often do it on myself, as I would imagine working with that person. Of course, that's always with their permission, with their acceptance. So I just had to bring this in. Now, for those of you who are enrolled in the course for the first time, we're going to be sending you this book. And in all this planning, Sandy and I forgot to tell you this. If you don't already have this, it is a book called Detox for Healthcare. And it's written with Cecilia Wimber. And it has the details in this. And in the back, it has this DVD. And that's made with Karen Freiling. And I'll be, and her husband, Andre. And I'll be talking, I'll be bringing Karen in later. Because Karen actually had the idea of starting a certification course in Germany for this. And that's how it started in Germany and then Switzerland and then Austria. And this, that certification for professional use of it is one thing. What we're doing here is bringing this to you so that you can use this for yourself. And for those of you who are health caregivers, you can find a way of bringing this in for your clients. So what I would like us to do now is just put our hands on our heart chakra, just on our chest, one over the other. Let's do this so you can see. Oh, take a nice deep breath. And very softly, just barely making a contact with the tissue, move the tissue around our imaginary clock. Now, I have to do a little review because we have a few people here today who are actually on for the first time. So we imagine taking a clock off the wall, putting it here on our chest. And of course, you'll be looking at it from the outside and you know where the 6 o'clock is toward the ground. Now you're going to very lightly, however it works with your hand, just one hand over the other, doesn't matter which way, whatever is comfortable, and whichever direction is best for you. I'm going to go today from six to the, I'm going to go up to the right in the little arc, quarter circle, up to 9, over to 12. Then to 3, then to 6. And at 9, I'm going to take a deep breath and pause. And just release. Now I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to encourage you actually to stretch your lips a little and smile. Because when we smile, as we move around the face of the clock in whichever your preferred direction, we smile. I'll say why in a minute. Now I'd like you to try the other direction. Start at 6, just catch whatever part of your hand is really easy to catch. 6, and I'm going to go to 3. I'm going to go to the left, from the ground, 6, up to 3, 12, 9, 6, and 3. And my body says, no, thank you, please go the other direction. And now, this deep breath. I'm going to invite you to actually again, one circle and a quarter. Now, just keep your, put your hands down, relax, and close, keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to imagine that we are all together. We're gathered from around the world, not in our spirit bodies. And we're going to come into a beautiful meadow, very peaceful. And we're going to sit in a circle. And I'd like each one of you to imagine, just imagine if you could, what trees would you like surrounding this beautiful, lovely little spot we're sitting? Imagine some lovely sun just coming gently through, just to keep us in a perfectly warm temperature. Imagine what bird voices would you like to hear? Maybe you can hear some humming of some bees. Oh, some lovely little other little critters. Oh, I'm going to call in a few ladybugs. And then bring your animals in and just imagine them in spirit there with you. Bring your animals that you have at home, or maybe animals you've had in the past. Maybe they're no longer with you, but they'll be here with us in spirit. And call in any other animals. Call in some other animals that we would like to bring in from around the planet. And just imagine this place of peace. Ah, bring in the scent. What scent? I can feel, I can smell the grass. And I'd like to imagine just moving my hands in the grass around me. And I can see some beautiful little flowers. And I can hear a bubbling, beautiful bubbling brook. Now I'm going to invite you to open your eyes now. And I am going to explain once again, because this is a basic premise of our first of the nine elements, the basic circle. This idea that we imagine the face of a clock when we do what we just did was a heart hug on our chest. When we imagine the face of the clock, we activate the left brain. Logic. We need this in order to live and make a living and be here on the planet. But all of that visualizing the circle and the quarter, visualizing, just visualizing the face of the clock, and then taking the deep breath. Whenever we visualize, we activate the right hemisphere. And the right hemisphere is necessary for us to be creating this world and the humanity we crave. Because it is with the right brain that we are able to have compassion, that we're able to feel, that we're able to access our intuition. And that intuition, I want to remind you, the intuition that allows us to link with this creative energies of the universe, this divine within. And when we connect with this divine spark in every cell in our body, it opens us to a whole other level of humanity. And we can only be the change we want to see in the world. That's the beauty of it. So I am just so grateful for this experience. And I would, of being here with you in this way. And I would like to invite, Neil, if you would hold up your hand, a few of you, whoever would like to share what you got yesterday in the circle, for instance, that we did. What? Or anything that just comes up for you from what we did yesterday, or even from now. And Eleanor is going to watch for your, Eleanor, if you will raise your hand, Eleanor will unmute you.
Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, everybody. Yesterday.
Shannon, will you just first say your name and where you are?
Oh, yes.
You started.
My name is Shannon Yule Weil, and I started with Linda in 1967 when I was a student at her Pacific Coast Equestrian Research Farm. And so Linda has been one of my best friends for 51 years. So I've been along for the ride for a long, long time, and I appreciate it very much. And I live in cool California near the Western States Trail in the Tevis Cup ride, which she introduced me 2 years ago. So, and I wrote Strike a Long Trot, so which was an absolute pleasure for me to do. But yes, in yesterday's circle, the thing that came to me the most prominently, which has stuck with me, I was even thinking about it this morning in the kitchen when I was, you know, doing dishes, was that the message that the animals sent to me was about our air, clean air. Maybe because I'm in California and I'm feeling the effects of the wildfires with the smoke, but unless we take care of the animals can't take care of us. So that is something that is truly important to me.
Thank you. Blessings.
Sandra, did you want to say something? I saw you raise your hand at one point.
Yeah, this is reinforcing for me yesterday so much of what happened and what I've done with T-Touch for myself, because a month ago I fell and hit my head. And I got up off the floor and sat up and did it, the T-Touch circles on my head, and the bump went down and I got no bruise.
Wow.
No bruise the next day at work. Just a tiny little pink spot that I continued to teach on that went away that day. But no bruise, no lump, no headache, nothing. And that's the second time that happened to me, the second time I did this. So that's why.
Can you just show us what you did?
Right here, twice, I hit my head. And I, where it even as close as I could get to where it hurt, I did the circle and a quarter all around and continued to do it for about 45 minutes until I could stand up. And then I would wait, and I did it all that day at work in intervals. And at night, I did it. And I never got just a tiny, very pink but different than my skin mark, and that went away. Yeah. That was the second time. The first time I actually had a divot in my head where I could actually place my finger where I hit it.
Oh. Fantastic. So, thank you so much for that, because the thing is, when you hit your head, it hurts anyway, right? And so you do it as lightly as you can. That's where we talk about not a one pressure that we learned yesterday on the eyelid, but it's even less. It's just like barely moving it. And as long as it takes, and that is fantastic, because sometimes it takes 45 minutes until there's no more discomfort.
That's right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have another hand? Because this is really important for those of you who are joining us. We have somebody. Do you want to introduce Sandy?
Well, Reverend Donna L. Haber wants to say something.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask Sandy to introduce a new person. Okay. And I'm going to, go ahead.
Yes, so please. What I'm going to share is a little different. When Linda was talking yesterday, she all of a sudden said, I want to see people here. I can't see them. And then you explained how, and she started to see everyone. And this beautiful heart, like we all saw, just opened so like a flower. And Linda was practically in tears with how wonderful it was to see, you know, all these people that she loves so much. And it brought back such a beautiful memory for me, that when she was doing a training with us in New Jersey, I was upstairs and we were doing dogs, and someone brought a cat in that was really a troubled cat. And Linda, we brought him down to the basement for it to be very quiet for the cat. And the people were there. So I go down the steps and I go to the basement, and I see a whole room of people crying everybody's crying and weeping. And why was this so? Because Linda was holding this cat and she so honored this cat and went into its heart and felt what it was feeling, that it affected everyone. And Linda said something yesterday too that also struck me, which was how someone said something to her and she said, yes, I so deeply honor, I honor these animals. And for me, you know, the circles are wonderful and everything we do here is extraordinary, but the underlying foundation that Linda creates with this work is, for me, the essence and the beauty, and it is evidenced by Linda's heart. So that's what I wanted to share. And one other thing, when I was learning to be a practitioner and I had to do my case studies, I had this one client who had a dog who had a fight with its brother, and she wound up with many stitches on her, you know, arm to try to break up the fight. And I had to come in and work on this dog who was this beautiful Australian shepherd dog named Murray. And I made sure that the other brother was away and started working on Murray. Did some body work, used the wand first. Anyway, he was a beautiful dog, beautiful spirit. And I sat down to talk with his guardians, and all of a sudden I see the woman crying. And I said, Judy, what's up? Why are you crying? She goes, look, Murray went to get a toy. Murray is playing. We've been trying for 6 months to get Murray to play. He's never played before. So that for me was one of my most beautiful moments in Tea Touch. And that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Do we have another hand? From yesterday, if we could do it, or this morning.
And if not, Linda, did you want to introduce somebody?
It's okay, he's not on.
Oh, got it.
So if nobody else has another share from yesterday, what I would like to do, actually, is bring Debbie on. Because she has a story, Debbie Potts, and Debbie and I go back to, was it 1984, when Debbie, I remember coming to her first training. And you've never been away from home before overnight, which is unbelievable. And now she teaches in China, and our certification courses in China and Taiwan and Japan 20 years now, unbelievable, right? And so one of the gifts, and Donna, one of the things that makes me, my heart so open, is the fact that I have an open heart now, thanks to Tea Touch. Mm. That was not always true. And that the fact that we have this amazing connections that go around the world for so many years, and we've kept these connections for so long, that's what makes my heart sing. And that's why I know that together, that we have the capacity for creating the world and the humanity we crave by the kindness that Sandy came up with yesterday in all these different ways. So Debbie, you have a great story.
Oh, there are so many stories, Linda, and it's so exciting. And I'm thinking back to that very first training we had together, and that was a real example of overcoming fear, because I really hadn't gone by myself anywhere before I went to work with Linda. And it wasn't my courage, it was my desire to help my horse was greater than my fear of going off somewhere by myself. And what a life-changing journey this has been. There are a lot of stories, but I think, were you thinking about the bungee story, Linda? Yes. So I was here with my family. We were doing some barn cleaning and had the truck filled up with stuff to take to the dump, and tying the load down, overstretched a bungee cord. And my son on the other side didn't know that the rope was attached to a bungee cord, and I'm watching the bungee cord go up over the top of the load, stretched too tight. So it opened up the end of the bungee cord and it came flying back and it hit me right on the side of my nose here. And it was just like being hit with a sledgehammer, just flattened me on the ground. And I had a laceration, I had a small fracture here, and you know, it healed. And this was such a deep learning for me on so many levels, because of course I know I'm gonna do some T-touches on it. Even though it looked on the outside that it was completely healed, inside it wasn't. And I think that my cells were just holding so much fear and trauma with this event. And so one piece of learning about this was, even though it looked fine, if I touched anywhere around this area, I would have deep radiating pain. And I tried working away from the area. I had someone else work on me a little bit, you know, maybe starting around my neck or something. And I couldn't change that. Now, this incident happened, actually it was Thanksgiving Day, so it would have been the end of November. In February, I was with Linda at her home, helping her teach the T-Touch for You course. And normally I'm there saying, I'm just here to help people learn. Well, this time I said, Linda, please work on my face, because I hadn't been able to do anything that could stop this. And so Linda spent an hour doing a demo on me for the group. And it was a profound experience for me, because even though I'd been teaching this forever and believe it in my mind, my heart, and my soul, it provided an opportunity for learning truly on a cellular level. So I was, I don't remember, I think I was laying on a massage table, Linda. I'm wondering if we started out with me sitting though, maybe. I'm trying to remember, I was on the table. And actually, so Linda really asked me to check in with my cells. And of course, I trust Linda completely, completely. So if she had asked me, can I touch you here or there, I would have said, of course. But when she said, ask your cells, it was a different experience. And she actually started out working between my shoulder blades on my back. That's the place that my cells really felt safe.
That they said that was okay, right?
Yes, that was like, because you were like here, and if I just went with my mind, it was like, oh, of course you can touch me, but listening, really listening to my cells, it was different. So the middle of my shoulder blades, and she actually worked around my shoulder blades and up around the uninjured side of my head. And at one point, she'd been working on me for a while, and it was really clear when I listened when it was okay, you know, to move ahead or to go back or whatever. And at one point, Linda said, what would your cells say if we took a break? Because I think in most cases, we probably would have stopped for a little processing break. However, you said, how would your cells feel if I stopped? And I said, my cells would be so disappointed. And so Linda worked all around the uninjured side of my face. And it was so interesting that it was so important to really specifically work on every part. And, you know, in many cases, the cells are talking to each other, so you don't have to work on every part. But in this case, it was so important. I could tell where she hadn't been. And at the end of that amount of time, she could come over to the other side of my face and it was completely fine. She could touch me around the injury. It was fine. It's like these cells made it okay for the other cells on the other side of my face. And that was an hour. It was, and then I really went and rested for a while. I didn't help with the rest of that morning, because there was so much integration happening between my cellular network. And from that moment forward, I could touch the injury area. I had no pain. I had no fear. I had no unusual effects at all. And so there was so much learning about that. The biggest part, I think, is the fact that even though I believe in this work in all my heart and soul, and that experience really helped me to recognize this on a much more cellular level. I have to say, there was another time as Linda was working that I could feel all of my cells having question marks in them. It was so funny. I could just kind of see all these little question marks about, wow, I don't know what it was. It was something about this integrating experience that was really profound for me. And so I think that it's an important piece of really being able to have that communication relationship with our cells. And it isn't just what we're thinking in our hearts and our minds. It's really a kind of a cool conversation, I think. And at some point, I'm hoping that Susan Davis has a chance to talk about her experience. And I don't know if this is the time or another time, but we have worked together quite a lot. I'm sure Susan doesn't mind that I talk about that. And talking to her cells and her shoulder cells and having her horse participate in this. And it's just such a cool thing to be able to share with people to have a different relationship. So it's not just me, but really having that ability to have sort of this two-way conversation. I know that when I'm working on myself, I'm not just thinking about, you know, I can have the idea of what is my hand noticing if it's touching my body, but also what is my body noticing as it experiences my hand. And so it really becomes a two-way conversation so that it's not just the overall sensation, it's really much more about that acknowledgement, I think, that acknowledgement of ourselves separate from what we just think.
And this is one of the things that makes this particular immersion course different from the way we normally teach, because when I'm teaching Tea Touch for You, of course, we bring the cells in. But many of you who are here have gone through the companion animal trainings, and we know that you don't have to understand about the cells in order to be successful. You can just do this 1 1/4 circles and you'll be successful. But when we want to actually be the change that we want to see in the world, something, there is a happening that occurs when we begin to connect with this divine spark, this consciousness, this intelligence that is in every cell in our body. And it is just wonderful. Now we have could we put up on the screen the 9 elements and then put up the feedback scale, please? Is that possible, Sandy?
Yes, it's possible. Just give me a moment. I can only put one up at a time, though. So you want the 9 elements first?
I want to see the overview of the 9 elements because we have people here. And we try, Debbie and I were talking about this 2 days ago, you know, and Karen and I have talked about this, of course, a great deal, is the fact that I try to remember them in the same order. And we have this mind map, and I want to acknowledge Karen Freiling, who's here with us, because she's the one who introduced us to the concept of mind mapping. And it's changed my life and my learning. It's just incredible. Can you make that so we can actually see the top there? And you can see the there. Yes, Tea Touch for You. And so these are the 9 elements with the colors. And we have, you read this mind map for those of you. This is one of the things we really recommend, that as part of this course, you look into this idea of mind mapping. And you start on the basic, with the Tony Busan concept, up on the basic right side with the basic Tea Touch circle. And we went into all kinds of details about that yesterday. And we did the pressure, and we haven't done that yet. And we talked about this mindful pause, which is really, really an opportunity to really connect and allow for that still point, this place of ideal function of the body will come to. And then you come around to connections, but we'll come there. The breathing we're going to be bringing in, the way we sit or stand or however we are with ourselves, the intention. And the basic intention here, the message is, of course, one of the things is remember your perfection. And we mean this at the cellular level. Just remember this. And we now, as we go deeper into this, it's remembering your potential for communication cell to cell. When there's fear or tension or pain or discomfort, the communication is inhibited between the cells. And actually with our 1 1/4 circles, we can enhance and activate, support that communication. But then we get to the last one, the empowerment scale. And this is where T-Touch is different, because in every other method I know of, if you really learn as a therapist to assess what the person needs, that's part of it. I mean, it's beautiful, and I don't mean in any way to mean that that's not as good, but our intention is different, and that is to empower the person or ourselves to give us feedback. This concept of no pain, no gain is very deep, you know. Oh my gosh. I mean, even when I go for a massage, which I do from time to time, but it's so, it's just not satisfactory to me when my body wants circles. And no matter what I say, you know, I did the Feldenkrais training, my body appreciates really gentle work. I still want to go in deep because of the idea that we have to go deep to feel. Now, the fact is, when we think about this feedback, let's put up the feedback scale right now. And we're going to do this now in the second session. We're going to feel that. Can we get this up here in a moment? Now, for those of you who worked with the feedback scale, here we have it. So we draw a line here, and you've seen me do this many times, lots of us who teach this, and we have numbers on the scale, and we have words that give us a feeling. And the reason we do, the numbers give the logical connection, you know, and activate that left brain, and the feeling, the right brain. So what we're doing here, and we're going to ask you to do this on your own body, asking yourselves for feedback. So if it feels absolutely like perfect, wow, that's a wow, that's a 10, you know? Now, if it's just okay, think, okay, how can I make that better? And this is going to be an assessment, a personal assessment in this case, since we're doing this on ourselves. It's really funny because I fashioned this after the judging for dressage. So H is a good, oh, that's good. Ah, that's good. If somebody says to me, that's good, or you say, okay, that's good. Well, is there a way to make it better? That's the question. Maybe there isn't. Maybe good is really great, and you can't do any better at this moment because of the pain or the level of fear. So you go for good, nice, you see, six is, now that's interesting. The reason I put here on the 4 is that if you don't want a person, or you don't, like, how do we do this on our own body? Because we've never tried this before for ourselves. We're all an experiment here. It's like, that means we'd use less pressure or more, or slower or faster, or a different part of the hand. Those are our choices. That's going to be a little challenging on ourselves. But Debbie, if you think about using the scale, for instance, with your nose in that area, what was your, when, if I asked yourselves, and attempted to touch anywhere near your face on your injured side, what would your cells have said here?
you're talking about if you had asked me about touching?
Yeah, if I'd asked you, because of course I didn't, but.
I'm thinking back. You know, the thought of being touched was okay. But as soon as there was any contact, even a one contact, that's when this radiating pain would start coming down the side of my face. So I probably would have been curious about trying it, and then I would have gone to, you know, 2.5, probably somewhere between stop and it, because the pain would radiate. So it wasn't just the moment that the contact was there, it would last for several seconds.
And so it was absolutely intolerable.
Right. And so that's why I hadn't really been able to work on it or have anybody else work on it, because I just couldn't, I you know, even if I was doing something and you know how you might just inadvertently scratch a little bit, and I wouldn't be thinking about it because it didn't bother me unless there was contact, and I wouldn't think about it. And I'd just go to, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Don't remember not to do that.
But this is why I say here, because we can force ourselves. Now, what I want us to do now is think about, take this. First of all, I'd like to know if there are any questions, but maybe as we work with it, you'll start to get a sense of it as we share. We're going to take that exercise that we did yesterday, the Pono and Pilakia, and we're going to, I'd like to do a little bit of sharing and before we take our break, and think about, because I'd like you know, first of all, just to review in your mind the parts of your body that you wrote down under the Pono, the part you really like. And Pono means a state of excellence. So we asked you, if you were coming in first the first time today, we asked you to just think of the areas of your body that you really like, huh? And that you can smile at. And recall what you wrote down, those areas, because it's really thank them being here and really address that area. And now we're going to actually address the parts that you don't like, that is, that cause you discomfort, that or maybe not have as much flexibility, maybe they're stiff, maybe you have fear of the contact with that area. Maybe it doesn't work as well yet. Those are the areas we're going to be talking about, we're going to be working with now. And I wonder if we could just have a few sharings. I know it's a little hard at first, but just before our break, I'd like to have two people share if we can do that.
Linda, would you like us to to take down the empowerment scale so we can see everybody?
Good idea.
Okay. Let me look. Is everybody in such a lovely mode? It's hard to say anything.
Oh, it's a little hard at first, too.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, hold on. Let's go with Lisa.
Hi. Some of the things I like is I like my eyes, my toes, my feet, and my ears. I'm having a little trouble today because, of course, I managed to get bucked off earlier in the week. So I'm extra sore, but usually I'm sore anyway. So the things I'd like to work on have functioned more perfectly are my basically every joint, specifically my back and my ribs. But also I have kind of a the weight issue. So I've been trying to use Ho'oponopono on parts of me that are particularly overweight. And using forgiveness and love to try to change some of those patterns.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So actually, I noticed that we're at the end of the hour, so I'm just going to do this one example. Thank you very much. So when we come back, what happened here? When we come back, I'm going to lead you through some ideas that I would like us to actually, I'm going to mention three parts of the hand I'm going to suggest we use. Now, that's for those of you who are new. For those of you who know the work, you choose whatever you want and we'll share that after. But let us take a good 5 minute break, get up and move around, you know, and take some nice breaths. And thank you all. And we'll send you, so you'll end this first 1 hour segment.
Okay.